What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show, alongside, as always, my co-host, Mr. Gino Camilleri. Gino, and we are feasting on some running back news, huh? This is the position that just Eagles Twitter cannot get enough of.
Yeah, you were excited about the knowledge that Jeff Mosher, that the Eagles got their eye on Josh Jacobs in round one, if he makes it to 25, which after a 4.6 240 kind of makes it seem a little more realistic because he didn't test as well as many would have thought. But it's an exciting time. I'm going to say it every podcast until we get to the draft. This team is still adding talent as we speak. Yesterday, they add Sendejo, a great third safety, way better than Corey Graham. So there's still positions to be added. They still definitely are going to add to the backfield. Definitely still need some depth inside and at edge. Need some depth at the offensive line. But this is where you get the value signings. I mean, you look back, Corey Graham, the past two seasons, didn't sign till August. LeGarrette Blount a couple seasons ago didn't sign till May. So this team is going to continue to evaluate. They're going to continue to evaluate the college, which I'm sure they're doing all right now, obviously. And then after the draft, they're going to hit up the UDFA market, and what they don't fulfill there, they're going to go out and get some more value free agent signings. So this is just the beginning. They're getting their signings done, but there's still 90 roster spots that need to be filled. There's going to be plenty of names added to this team.
Yeah, look, as long as Sendejo can stop a 4th-and-12 against the Tennessee Titans in overtime, then I'm okay.
I think Ben Solek said it best. I tweeted at him, I go, "You think this is an upgrade over Corey Graham?" And he quote-tweeted and said, "Andrew Sendejo not being Corey Graham is an instant upgrade." So yeah, I like the move. I mean, most Eagles fans are going to think back to the 2017 National Championship, where he was basically buried in the end zone at Lincoln Financial Field, but there is a reason why him and Harrison Smith were one of the top two safety safety duos in the league the last couple years. He's got solid numbers. He's started a majority of the games in his career. He's going to be a great addition to this third safety rotation, and it's going to be a prime excuse to want to bring in another one and draft a younger safety to develop behind those three big names that they have back there.
Yeah, I agree. I think, look, it's another move that fills a spot for 2019 where they don't really have to worry about it. I think it's interesting that it almost basically keeps Avante Maddox for sure. And I wouldn't guarantee it, because some people are talking about Sendejo, really good special teams player too. Maybe he's the next Chris Maragos, but for me, he's the next Corey Graham. Before last year, he was that third safety in Minnesota from 2014 up until 2017, and he was pretty good. I know most people in Philadelphia remember him for getting trucked by LeGarrette Blount in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago, but Sendejo is a guy that can fill in that void, I guess you could say, for Corey Graham much better than Corey Graham did at that third safety spot. So yeah, it does probably push Avante Maddox down at corner. I got into the secondary yesterday, talked about why I didn't think bringing Darby back was the best move. You can check that podcast as well as all of our other ones on LockedOnEagles.com and all the podcast platforms. Just tell Siri, just tell Alexa on your smart device to play Locked On Eagles. But Gino, like, you talk about all the, like, of all offseason, you've really been harping on it, and I mention it a lot, because in free agency now, the Eagles have made it a whole lot easier to do whatever they want in the draft now, right? Go for future needs. They can draft a safety now knowing that, yeah, they got three guys locked up for 2019, but in 2020, 2021, they're going to need that position. Or wide receiver. Eventually, DeSean Jackson is going to be 33 years old, I think, by the start of the regular season. Going to need another receiver to add with, you know, Alshon's also getting up to the 30-year-old range. So when you bring in all these pieces that are veterans, guys that are in their prime, it allows you in the draft now to, not to me, just take whatever. Like, if they took a corner right now in the first round, I would absolutely lose my mind. But it, again, future needs now, they can go in and they can do virtually whatever they want. The only thing that you could really say they do need is a running back. And now it gives you that flexibility at 25 if you want to take a Josh Jacobs. Let me ask you this, because I think some people are getting a little bit, you know, on the edge of their seat. They're getting a little bit antsy when it comes to Howie Roseman's running back approach. And you're one of the more patient guys, which is smart when considering you even mentioned it yourself. They didn't sign LeGarrette Blount until after the draft. Remember, people were kind of concerned, like, what are they going to do at running back after Ryan Matthews left in the 2017 offseason? Are you worried at all about what Howie is doing at running back, considering guys like Mark Ingram and Tevin Coleman got pretty cheap deals in Baltimore and in San Fran? I think both guys signed three-year deals worth up to $15 million, so a max of $5 million a year. And some people are like, well, the Eagles liked Tevin Coleman. He didn't cash in, like maybe Philadelphia was on edge to give him that kind of deal. Are you concerned that they didn't make those deals and now maybe they're trying to skimp by again this year with a Wendell Smallwood, which, I, dear God, I hope that's not the case.
Yeah, before I answer that question, I want to just take a step back a second and discuss what we were talking about, how you were saying that this team, and the point I bring up all the time, drafts for a couple years down the road. And yeah, there's starting to be a pattern that develops to be a precursor to show basically what they're going to do in the draft. I don't know. It clicked into my head last night. I started putting the pieces together. You look back to 2017 and some additions that they brought in the offseason. They brought in Ronald Darby. They brought in Patrick Robinson. But who do they bring in during the draft? They pick up Sidney Jones. They pick up Rasul Douglas. So they double dip in free agency, and then they double dip in the draft. You look back to last year. You have Zach Ertz. You bring in a Richard Rodgers. Who do you draft? You draft Dallas Goedert. They're starting to identify these positions that they know they're going to need and knowing to that they're going to have to make big financial decisions to play the comp pick game in a couple years. You look at the contracts for guys like Patrick Robinson. His deal ran out after 1 year, and they were able to replace them with two younger safeties. You look at last year, Richard Rodgers. He's not going to be a high comp pick, but there's always the potential that he could be. Come next offseason, Sendejo could be that guy, and the young safety could step in next year. They're starting to play this game, and you're starting to see this pattern develop. I mean, you could even look back at like LeGarrette Blount with Danelle Pumphrey. They drafted him the same year, bring in a running back. They're stocking up at those positions in both free agency and the draft, and they're starting to understand the comp pick game. You look at teams like the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots. Why the Patriots more to a bigger extent, but both of those teams have had great success over the past decade because they played this comp pick game, and the Eagles are starting to realize that. Howie Roseman's knows that the only way he's going to be able to replace the talent he has in coming years once Carson signs on the dotted line is via younger, cheaper options in the draft. So come next year, what do they have already right now? 8 or 9 draft picks in next year's draft. After this whole comp pick formula goes through, they could have 4 or 5 picks in the top 3 rounds next year. So
that's a good point. You're basically saying he's getting that talent right now to help them win, but at the same time, he's not cashing in, and those are becoming draft picks. Yeah, you're right. Like, there's only a couple teams to me that are ahead of the curve right now, and I feel like Philadelphia is one of them.
Yep, and instead of fighting the big, quote, draft for need thing 2 to 3 years down the road, he's doing it before it comes an issue. I could say, looking back, the only position since he's came in with Carson Wentz, that draft class that he really had to quote-unquote draft for need maybe is going to be this year with running back. You look back at defensive line when they drafted Derek Barnett. They brought in a bunch of options in the offseason with him. They replaced him. Wasn't really an area of need. Dallas Goedert, the same thing. I mean, offensive line, they still had those two tackles. Interior, they were still good there. They brought in Isaac Seumalo. So they're starting to replace these guys 2 to 3 years prior. One, because they know that they're going to have to get cheaper, and two, because they're playing the comp pick game. So now, moving forward to your question. Sorry, that was a long-winded
quick. Don't you agree that that's kind of giving the Eagles almost a perfect balance? Some people are concerned that they're kind 100%. Of overstocking on older talent, but right now you have a big balance of young guys right smack dab in the middle of their prime, yes, and older players. And yeah, this comp pick thing now is where you can sign a 31-year-old safety and expect not to pay him again and get another pick. So you're kind of just you're eating your cake. Or what's the saying, dude? I'm totally...
You're having your cake and eating it, too.
That's right.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
You were 100% on. They're trying to cash out on Ronald Darby. Like, you sign him to this deal now, and what have we been saying for months, Lou, that we think he's a better corner than Stephon Gilmore was when he came out of Buffalo and got paid $14 million?
Right.
Do they want a third-round comp pick for Ronald Darby? You bet your ass they do. And what's the way that they're going to do it? Coming off of an injury like he did last season? Absolutely not. So now you bring him back. He knows the system. You allow your young guys to work a little more. You give them more competition to bring in there. Competition feeds improvement. So that's one area. You allow him to basically be the guy. And next season, you hope he cashes in somewhere else for $14 to $15 million. You walk away with a third round comp pick. I don't see that as a bad move at all. And they're going to continue to do this as long as Howie Roseman is here. And yes, people are going to harp. Why don't we sign a running back? Why don't we sign a running back? Why don't we sign a running back? Well, because frankly, Howie doesn't value them like the rest of the league does. He values a high passing offense, which you could see strictly on the amount of money they're paying their wide receivers. Nearly $30 million to their receivers. Howie's probably sitting there saying, okay, we got $30 million in our receivers. We have Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. There's one football on the field. Do we want to go lighter at running back? Continue this running back by committee, bring in a guy in the draft that is going to be a cheaper option, and then let Carson Wentz have a revigorated season, have a high potent offense like he had in his 2007 MVP-esque season. I think that's the route they're going to take. I'm not going to worry because there are still low cost options out there. There is still value in the trade market. Names are going to come free once there's cuts. And this running back class, there are plenty of guys that can come in and play the role. You might not get Josh Jacobs. Say you miss on Josh Jacobs. How many guys are feature backs in this draft? Maybe one or two guys.
Yeah,
if you see Daryl Henderson or Ozigbo, could be a late round option. But they're going to continue that committee option and just plug and play the needs that they need and spend their money elsewhere where they think it's important on the defensive line, on the wide receivers, on their tight ends, on their offensive line. If you have a good offensive line, we say that you should be able to run the ball better, but we saw that wasn't the case. But I'm not really too concerned about it. If you bring in a TJ Yeldon in like June, I'm not going to complain. I think there are plenty of options, and they're going to draft one. We said that Jeff Mosher mentioned it today on Inside the Birds, that and he's him and Kaplan are as well connected to this organization as anybody, that they are going to draft a running back within the first two rounds, and if not Josh Jacobs being in the first round.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it either. I'm keeping my eyes closer on it because last year at the deadline, they did not replace Jay Ajayi and Corey Clement, and I was someone that at least wanted to have an option back there that wasn't Wendell Smallwood. But I think Howie has done enough, even though he cares less about the position than most, he has done enough in the past couple years where he's really tried to get players. Again, me and you have mentioned it a bunch of times in the show about McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook, that if they were there when they were picking at 14th overall or in the second round, they might have had one of those two guys. And who knows, last year if Sony Michel fell one more pick, they probably still would have moved down and took that extra second round pick since Baltimore wanted Lamar Jackson. But I bet having Sony Michel there would have made them think twice. So they did trade a fourth round pick for Jay Ajayi. He's done enough to me to have enough confidence that I think he's going to address the position in the draft. There's a lot of options still outside of the draft. You mentioned TJ Yeldon. They talked with San Francisco about a potential trade. They have two guys now that I could see them maybe looking to trade with Tevin Coleman coming in a Matt Breida, who's only 24 years old, coming off a really solid year. And then the guy that Breida replaced in Jerick McKinnon after tearing his ACL before the season started. McKinnon and Tevin Coleman, don't you agree, are kind of the same? Maybe McKinnon's more expendable now. There's those options. Duke Johnson, to me, is still on the trade block, and the Eagles express interest in trading for him. So I'm keeping my eyes closer on it because they apparently did like Tevin Coleman and still didn't pay him what San Fran did, although maybe they did offer it. Who knows? But in this hypothetical, I'd say that they didn't go after Tevin Coleman. I'll keep my eyes closer on it, but there's just still way too many options that in the draft and in the, you know, running back by committee options in free agency right now or through a trade. We still have Jordan Howard out there potentially too. I'm not overly worried, but I am keeping a closer eye on it.
Definitely, and you have to. And until they can draft one, and we know that they can draft a solid running back, I'm going to be skeptical that they have the ability to. But we've seen them the last 2 years compile enough talent at the backfield position to succeed. Last year, let me ask you something, Lou. Last year, if Jay Ajayi and Corey Clement don't get hurt, do you think that that running back room is a success come the end of the season?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I thought, if Ajayi and Clement were healthy, that I was very excited about that 1-2 punch heading into last year. I thought they had their running back position solved.
So you can't put that on Howie Roseman's shoulders, which a lot of Eagles fans are doing. He did enough to bring in enough talent to win. They thought that Josh Adams and Wendell Smallwood would be the third and fourth option, which in any back committee is a good, is a solid 3-4 punch. But when they're year one and two and you're relying on Boston Scott and older Darren Sproles at the end of the season, there's not much you can do. You knew what you had in Ajayi. He was a good power back that is going to get you those yards, which Josh Adams couldn't do last season. Corey Clement was going to be a more reliable pass catching option than Wendell Smallwood was. When you take those two away, you're back to square one. You have a Wendell Smallwood who can't bite off more than 8 yards when he needs 10, and when he needs 10, he'll get 3. You know, like that's right. What you always love to say. And Josh Adams was 0-for on short on a third and fourth and short situation.
Well,
I think that's where
I do understand the fans is after those two players got hurt and they didn't replace anybody at the deadline. That is where, like, you could even go back at the deadline, them choosing to go double down on the passing game with Golden Tate, I wasn't going to argue against that. But I do understand people maybe getting upset that they got a little lackadaisical by not replacing those two.
Definitely.
But at the same time, you did see the promise in Josh Adams at that time. Howie might have said, look, this guy is averaging like 5 to 6 yards a pop. He did tailor off down the stretch, but at the time, Adams was playing pretty well too. So I am, again, even with that as well, I'm still pretty confident that they're going to address it, even if it's in, I really like the talent, again, in the middle rounds. If I can get a Darwin Thompson or Bruce Anderson, those are my two guys I'm going to pound the table for in the middle to the late end of the draft, then I still think that counts as addressing it. If you did a Bruce Anderson, TJ Yeldon 1-2 punch next year, like with Corey Clement, I'm cool with that.
Do you know what day it is today, Lou? Like what month and day we're in?
It's March.
Just remember, we have six months until the season starts. We need to, as the great Aaron Rodgers said, R-E-L-A-X, relax. Howie does his best come the draft, come the value free agent season, which is post-draft when these vets want to get one last go at it. Say they do bring in a Yeldon for a cheap contract and he catches 85 passes. We're not even going to remember this conversation happened come this time next year. There's plenty of time. Plenty of options, plenty of talent. Let Joe, let Howie, let the front office do their thing. We see Eagles news every single day. I wouldn't be surprised within the next 2 weeks if something happened in the backfield.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm kind of in the middle here where I am skeptical because I have been someone that the past couple of years that really want that position addressed because while it's easy to find the bare minimum, like a Wendell Smallwood, a 4-yard hole, he'll get you those 4 yards. At the same time, I want to strive for more there because you saw what a Todd Gurley can do for a Jared Goff. You've seen what an Alvin Kamara can do for a Drew Brees, and I just think it's not a necessity because the Eagles almost got to the NFC title with Wendell Smallwood as their lead ball carrier, but it is a nice luxury to have when you're a team like the Eagles that are pretty much set up everywhere else to win in 2019 and in the future. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When me and Gino come back, we're going to get into specifically Josh Jacobs. He had his pro day today. Jeff Mosher, an Eagles insider, linked the Eagles with Jacobs at pick 25, saying they really like him. That excites me a whole lot. I want to get into his 40 time, 4.6. People are not excited about that, and kind of compare him to some of the past top prospects in recent NFL drafts. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, this Tuesday edition of the show. Louis DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri. So, Gino, I think the stars are really aligning for Josh Jacobs to Philadelphia, and I don't know if it's going to be at pick 25. I don't know if it's going to be at pick 53 based on his 40 time today. I hope it doesn't hurt his stock. That's kind of alarming to me. But considering what they've done in the offseason that we talked about last segment, they have so much flexibility in the draft here that if they're at 25 and Josh Jacobs is available, they can definitely go that route and make this offense just loaded with talent. 5 incredible pass catchers, and now you add a 6 in the backfield. What did you think before I get into it? Did the 4.6 scare you away at all?
No, the thing you got to look for in these running backs is like their 10-yard split time. Like, do they have that first step explosiveness? Right. Can they accelerate quickly in that first area? Like, long speed, yeah, it does help, but you've seen guys, I always mention that JJ run against Dallas. Like, if you could get me 70 yards, I'm fine with that. Like, you don't have to be a home run hitter every single time. But if you can break out a nice run, you have that explosiveness to hit the hole, which Josh Jacobs, in his limited amount of carries, has shown he can do. He's shown he can get vertical in the pass game, and he shows he's a hell of a pass protector. I have no problem with him running a 4.6. Everybody else in the combine this year kind of struggled. I mean, Justice Hill, who's going to be a later round option, was obviously the guy. He ran that quick 40 time. But, I mean, I'm not going to really get held up on Josh Jacobs running a 4.6, too. You've seen it on tape, what he adds to an offense. And he had limited time to do things with Damian Harris really taking the bulk of the carries there. But when he was on the field, like, whew, man, he's just so impressive.
Right,
and
the tape doesn't lie. You got to know.
It doesn't.
Don't let, if the tape wasn't there, and or it, maybe you're on the fence, and then he doesn't test out great, it changes it. But when there's someone that popped in so many areas on the film, don't let this kind of change what you originally had. You know, trust your gut, trust your evaluation when actually watching him play in football games. Like you said, you know, speed wasn't honestly even a crazy part of his game. Anyway, it's never been a problem of catching Josh Jacobs. It's not getting put into the ground after you catch him,
right?
Because Josh Jacobs feeds off of contact. He's someone that he takes extreme pride in protecting his quarterback, blocking for players. I saw him a lot of time last year lining up at fullback, trucking linebackers to free up space for Damian Harris. I mean, he's a great receiver, like you said. Fran Duffy on the Philadelphia Eagles official website did a film breakdown of Jacobs the other day, and you see this deep route down the seam in the middle of the field, and he's able to turn his body when the ball's on the left side instead of the right, like a wide receiver needs to do. So to me, again, 4.6, not something that I'm overly concerned with a guy that has so many strengths that Jacobs does. For an Elijah Holyfield, okay, that's a little bit more concerning because he doesn't have all the positive, you know, abilities that Josh Jacobs does. Holyfield is not a great receiver from what we've seen. He hasn't had a big chance to do it, but even at the combine, I thought his hands looked pretty flimsy. Guys like Alvin Kamara, guys like Kareem Hunt, they ran a Kamara ran a 4.56, Kareem Hunt ran a 4.62, and neither one has Jacobs' violent style or size. So I'm not really worried, man.
No, not at all. And when I went through the scouting academy, there's the five core traits, and play speed is one of them. And Dan Hatman, in the video that he said talking about play speed, he goes, a guy can run a 4.24, but if he puts on pads and he looks like he runs a 5.0, coaches aren't going to play him. Josh Jacobs is one of those guys that when he puts on the pads, he plays fast. And you see it. He hits the hole super explosive. He can get vertical against slot corners. He's a guy that there's a reason why most people have him in the first round. And Lou, it looks really good if the Eagles want to get him. I mean, I don't see him getting picked in the top 15 spots. And after that, none of these teams, besides maybe Houston or the Raiders, needs a running back. You look, 16's Carolina. They have McCaffrey. 17, the Giants. We all know who they have. Minnesota, they have Delvin Cooks.
Don't rule anything out with David Gettleman.
Yeah, right? The Titans, I think they're all set there. You got Deion Lewis, you got Derrick Henry. Pittsburgh, they love James Conner. Can't see that happening. Seattle, they took Rashad Penny in the first round last year. Probably one of the worst first round picks in a long time. Baltimore could be the only option I see. Houston, possibly if they want to move on from what they currently have. Oakland, it could happen. But I think Jacobs has a very good chance to fall to 25. I seriously do. And this Eagles team, if they like him well enough, should take him. Unless a guy like Ed Oliver falls to 25, then you're pounding the table for him. But yeah, I just think now is the time. Like, if you want your guy at quarterback, if you want your guy at other positions, like, what's the concern with trading up to get one of those? Like, if a running back's there at 25 and he's your guy, take him. Like, it doesn't matter if he's a running back. Now is your window to win. These next 4 to 5 years is going to be your window. Get Josh Jacobs in there and play him and bring in talent along the defensive line and the offensive line with the next two picks that you have. And that's the luxury you're going to have picking 53 and 57 as well.
Yeah, it's really the last disadvantage the Eagles have compared to a lot of these other high-class offenses in a New England with Sony Michel and what he was able to do for Tom Brady when he was struggling down the stretch last year, and the Saints with Kamara, and now Ingram's in Baltimore, but with Ingram and Kamara last year and Todd Gurley in L.A., the only thing that the Eagles really didn't have that those rosters had was a Josh Jacobs type of running back, and the 4-6 is alarming some people, but again, like you said, he plays fast in the field. Don't let the testing throughout the winter change what you saw in the fall on the film. Trust the film and then go exactly based on everything else. Let me just read a couple tweets from some guys that were at the Pro Day that have talked with scouts around the league about Josh Jacobs. This is Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports 1 and The Athletic. Talked to an NFL running back coach who couldn't stop raving about Josh Jacobs. Raved about how hard he played on every snap of film he studied. Raved about how he plays the game old school like it's supposed to be played. Raved about how engaged he was in their meetings as well. And then also from Luke as Sterling, if Josh Jacobs was your running back one before today, today's pro day performance should not impact your mind. He wasn't running back one before because of his athleticism. So I think those are some interesting points here to kind of ease your mind if you are concerned with Jacobs' slow 40 time. And yeah, like you mentioned, there's not a lot of options for him really before Philadelphia 25. Even you said Baltimore's, it's definitely a possibility teaming him up with Lamar Jackson, but hey, they just signed Mark Ingram.
Yeah, for what they lost on the defensive side of the ball, you really think they're going to address defense? I mean, Oakland really depends what they want to do. Do they want to bring in offensive weapons? Because they've brought in a couple so far, but they really need to beef up that defense. So I can't see it happening. I really think there's a high percentage chance that he falls to 25 and maybe even out of the first round if the Eagles don't take him.
Oh, I'm in. I am in on 25. All right, let's take one more break here, Gino. When we come back, I want to do something. Because the past couple of years, there's a lot of players that... So I kind of do this once a year where I get really into a running back. And it's basically because Philadelphia hasn't addressed it in the past few years. I want to compare Josh Jacobs' two recent top picks, or top prospects, I should say, that went early in the NFL draft, that went around where Josh Jacobs should probably go in the 2019 NFL draft. So let's do that next to wrap up the show. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, two segments down, one to go. So, Gino, I ranked Josh Jacobs with four other running backs, and I want you to do the same. And I didn't put Leonard Fournette in here based on, I just don't think he's in this class anymore, but I kind of put Jacobs with a lot of similar talent, guys that were around the same in big boards. I put, obviously, Saquon, I got to put in there because he was, to me, the best prospect that came out as a running back in a long time. I put Saquon Barkley, Sony Michel, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, and Josh Jacobs in this list.
Ooh.
To me, where for you does Jacobs line up with those other guys? I think it's pretty close between Sony, Dalvin, and Jacobs. I put up a poll on Twitter, actually, about those three, and it is totally split right down the middle.
I mean, number one, you have to go Saquon. I think I'm
fairly that
confident
clear
in that.
Yeah.
Two, you go McCaffrey for sure. I honestly, for what the Eagles do, I'd rather have McCaffrey over Saquon. Just my personal opinion, just based on how the Eagles offense operates. So the rest of the three, I think you go Jacobs because both of the other guys had injury concerns. Sony Michel, they talked about the big thing was his knee. Dalvin Cook, time and time again, has had knee injuries. Both of those guys struggled to stay on the field in college. Dalvin Cook hasn't done it so great in the NFL either. I think Jacobs, the low tread on his tires, presents you more, but those guys are both known commodities, so right now you just have to put them above Josh Jacobs strictly because they've performed in the NFL, and you really
well,
have to see
before
what Jacobs is going to do. But if I'm going to
say
on my personal opinion of the players, I'm taking Jacob. So I was never the biggest fan on Dalvin Cook. I was never the biggest fan on Sony Michel. I was more a Nick Chubb guy myself. But Michel, hey, Super Bowl champ now. I would have loved to see him at 31. He was just out of the Georgia running backs. I preferred Nick Chubb, just a personal opinion. But yeah, I'd say Jacobs is – I'd say Dalvin Cook 5, Jacobs, and Michel like 3A, 3B.
Yeah, you had the same opinion basically as this poll. Jacobs 41%, Sony Michel at 31%, and then Dalvin Cook at 28%. For me, I was a bigger fan of Dalvin Cook than a lot of people. I would have been okay with him at 14. That's how big of a fan I was of him coming out of Florida State. And he did show that promise to start his rookie year. He was third in rushing before he went down, but you know, injuries has really been the main part. Much like Sidney Jones for Dalvin, it's not the talent on the field that's the big question. It's can he be on the field? Because even last year down the stretch when he finally got that hamstring injury recovered, he started getting going. So for me, I think, yeah, Saquon and McCaffrey are clear 1-2. But Jacobs is right there with those other guys coming out of Georgia and coming out of Florida State. I think Dalvin, Michelle, and Jacobs' lineup is pretty similar based on big boards. I put Dalvin 3 coming out of Florida State. I put Jacobs 4 and then Sony Michel 5. But I just think because a lot of people are saying this is a weaker class, Gino, I still wanted to put in perspective that I still think Josh Jacobs, even with a lot of those guys, would have still been atop a lot of rankings.
I agree. I think it would be really interesting to see all those guys come out in a draft class together. I think that'd be interesting to see how scouts valued all of them. I think the low tread for Jacobs really presents a high ceiling for him and
why
a lot of these teams.
Why do you think that was the case? Why do you think Damian Harris was such a more of a focal point in Saban's offense? I mean, it's not like Saban was trying to, you know, preserve Jacobs for anything, because in college, like, he's going to lose those players anyway.
I don't really know. And trying to explain Nick Saban is probably fair. Like trying to solve like a 1,000-piece Rubik's Cube or something.
True.
But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what he saw. Who knows what team's seeing Josh Jacobs now? Breaking news, Cowboys signed Randall Cobb. That's a pretty big acquisition for them.
Randall Cobb and Tavon Austin, what a duo.
But back to bigger and better things, bigger and better teams, Philadelphia Eagles.
Facts.
I think even outside of just Josh Jacobs, there are so many guys in this draft that they can get their hands on that I would be totally fine with. Like if they walk away with Daryl Henderson in the second round with their second pick of the second round and walk away with, let's say, Christian Wilkins and then Juan Thornhill and then Daryl Henderson to clean up, I'm not going to complain. Like no way in my mind. There are so many guys that can fit into this Eagles offense. And that's the great thing is that this Eagles team is starting to adapt, and they've had been adapting these West Coast ideologies, these like spread offense ideologies that a lot of these college receivers come from. A lot of these college receivers come from NFL style. I mean, running backs, sorry, come from NFL style offenses. Like you look at Justice Hill, he'd be a great committee guy to bring in for Philadelphia. Like good straight line speed. He's an option in the receiving game too. Like there are so many guys from head to toe this draft that they could bring in here and fit. If they want to go a bell cow back, you bring in Josh Jacobs. If you want to go by committee, plenty of other options. It's just really how this team wants to address it moving forward. I still think they're going to have a running back by committee, regardless of who they have. Deuce Staley loves to rotate his running backs. He's done that for many years. He's going to continue to do that as long as he's in Philadelphia. And I'm sure when he becomes a head coach eventually, which many pundits think he has a great chance of being one of the next good head coaches in the NFL, he's probably going to rotate his running backs as well. So don't get all hung up on one guy is going to be the savior to this team, but would a Josh Jacobs improve this team drastically? I think so.
Yeah, look, I'm cool with a committee as long as that committee has talent. I'm good with a committee of Jay Ajayi, LeGarrette Blount, and Corey Clement. What I'm not cool with is just thinking because you have a committee, you can skimp by and not put anything into it and get through with Josh Adams, Wendell Smallwood, and Darren Sproles. So I'm with you. I think that's a good way to kind of finish it up is that even with Jacobs, they can still have a TJ Yeldon or, you know, if they brought in a Matt Breida or a Jerick McKinnon, you have those two with Corey Clement. Like, having more options for Carson Wentz to go to in this offense, or when, remember, Nick Foles struggling in that second half of that Saints game in the playoffs, or let's go to the Patriots with Tom Brady struggling the second half of the year. They went to Sony Michel as that workhorse running back that carried the offense for a bit while the passing game struggled. I mean, I imagine it's going to be hard for the Eagles to struggle with the passing game considering how many weapons they have. But if they do, I just like having the ability to have talent back there. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Me and Gina will be back tomorrow, and then we will continue our draft coverage because it is coming up, man. We are only just, a little bit more than a month away, right?
Yes, sir. It is the, 25th of April is the first day, so we're just a month and less than a week out, so we're almost there.
So we hope you guys, we hope you guys are enjoying our coverage. You can always check out our written stuff as well on LockedOnEagles.com. We got a great guest next week in the running back class. I'm not going to say who just yet, but me and Gene will be talking.
We put an Easter egg in one of our earlier episodes.
Right, so, go back and check that out. That's another excuse for you to go listen to our recent podcast. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.